Good morning, Ariel. How are you?
I'm very well, Catherine. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, and let's welcome everybody to our 2020 overview of the VSP, the Venus Star Point, which will fall into Gemini later this year. Mm-hmm. But did you have a good New Year's celebration?
Mm-hmm. Here in Cyprus or Greece, we say Kali Kronia for the New Year, Happy New Year, or Kronia Pola. And Kronia, you will all recognize the name as coming from Kronos, Saturn.
That's right. The Father Time.
Yeah. So it's like Happy New Year. The year is the time. They measure time, Kronia. So we are saying Kali Kronia, Happy New Year to everybody. And it's not just a new year, it's a new decade. So
that's right.
Putting things in store. And I want to, right at the beginning, I'm going to say a little commercial, and that is everybody tune into the CIA webinar that's happening actually this weekend. Today is the 3rd of January, but on the 4th and the 5th, the CIA is doing that's the Cosmic Intelligence Agency, for those of you who don't know, is doing a fantastic program with astrologers on 2020, the year ahead, and in some cases, the decade ahead. And I have a piece on the theme of air during the 2020s, how both the Venus Star Point is going into shift into two air signs, and the planetary picture is going to emphasize many of the outer planets and air signs. So what does this mean for our world? So 2020, actually, this year, starts the big air theme. And it's initiated with Saturn going into Aquarius, the North Node going into Gemini, and our lovely, darling Venus going retrograde in Gemini for 4 months this year. So that kicks off the decade of air.
I love that. I'm looking forward to it. And I have seen the CIA webinars before, and they're super informative and have some of the top astrologers around the world. So I look forward to tuning in there, Ariel.
Okay,
and
good.
So,
Hope to see you all there. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, well, let's go ahead and kick off. Why don't you give us an overview of where Venus is going to be in 2020?
Well, practically, she's going to go practically once around the wheel, but she doesn't cover the full 12 zodiac signs. She's slower this year. Every other year, Venus goes retrograde, which means that every other year, she's in a slow year. And then in the following year, she's fast. So she alternates between fast and slow. And last year was a fast Venus year. And this year is going to be a slow Venus year. So we start off in January, actually, this month, we started off with Venus in Aquarius, which is kind of a bright energy for Venus to be in. She likes Aquarius. It's the group, it's socializing, it's people, it's causes, it's the group and the network. Also has a lot to do with astrology and astrologers and things like that. And then she'll, mid-January, she goes into Pisces. That's where I think we'll find the water element really strong, from January 13th to February 7th. And I mean literally water. I think the rains are going to come pouring down from the heavens, and we're going to be seeing a lot of flooding conditions this spring and even the summer. I think we're going to have a lot of fire and a lot of water this year again. Well, again, the fire and again, rising waters, because Mercury's going retrograde three times this year in water signs as well. That's his element of choice this year. You know, Venus retrograde in Gemini for 4 months, she's in air, but she answers to Mercury. And with him
That's
being
right.
in water, I'm going to say that when people going on long distance journeys or things that have safety issues involved, you know, hiking in the mountains or going on the sea or going river rafting or whatever they're doing is, you know, if you're an astrologer, check the chart before you go. If you're not an astrologer,
consult with one.
Go with caution.
Right.
Yeah, if you're not an astrologer, hire one to be your personal guide.
Well, astrologers can certainly help through electional astrology, help you find a good date for trips sometimes, or at least a good date to launch through. But you're right, a word of caution and to be mindful of your environment is always key. As we recently saw the disastrous volcano in, I think it was New Zealand. So, or off the coast of New Zealand.
So. Oh, well, the earth is sputtering in so many places right now.
And the fires in Australia.
Earlier
California. In California. So.
I mean, everything. It's, yeah.
With your mention of rain and all the water, it reminds me of all the mudslides that we saw on the West Coast a few years back. So, mm-hmm. Be careful, everyone. Be careful.
Right. But really, okay, so then we were going through the year, February 7th, Venus goes into Aries. So that'll kind of, even though Mercury turns retrograde that month for about 3 weeks, I think Venus in Aries is getting, after the 7th of February, is definitely starting to get into her mode of action. Let's take action. You know, when she's in Pisces, she's more a little bit pensive and all of that. But Aries gets into gear. March 4th, she goes into Taurus. And that's always nice for Venus because she rules that sign. And I always think the gardens look, nature always looks so beautiful the months that Venus is in Taurus. And it's always in the spring. Sometimes it's in April, sometimes it's in May. This year it's in March, a little early. So starting from March 4th to April 3rd, expect, you know, the beauty of nature to prevail, and you'll start wanting to be in your garden. April 3rd is when she goes into Gemini, and that's where she spends 4 months in Gemini until August. So really almost the rest of the spring and most of the summer. 4 months in Gemini. Gemini rules transportation and communication. So I think those are the key things to be tuned into during that time, communication and transportation. Venus in Gemini, you may be looking at your wheels and think, and by choice or by necessity, need a set of new wheels. The way you get around, how you navigate, what you navigate in, how you get around, how we're speaking to one another. Mercury is the ruler of Gemini, so Venus will be answering to Mercury this year. And Mercury goes retrograde 3 times in the water sign. So I think we're going to have a lot of feeling, you know, very truth-telling. The Venus star chart, the Venus star point chart for June 3rd, which our listeners can get a look at by going to the actual blog of this broadcast. And in the blog, I've got the article at sophiavenus.com. But the thing about the chart is that the moon's in Scorpio for the Venus star point. 15 Scorpio. And Gemini and Scorpio, you know, Scorpio is like secret, inward, you know, not the moon there, especially the moon.
Right, right.
Feelings. Gemini is very communicative and somewhat boisterous about announcing things, you know, so there's this thing. And because early June has so much to do every 4 years when Venus winds up with the Venus star point in Gemini, it's tied, I've talked about this before, to the U.S. presidential election cycle. So there's always this drama of the candidates and the secrets coming out and the behind the scenes stuff, pulling out, you know, digging up more dirt mm-hmm. and exposing things that are going on. But let's not focus on that aspect of it. How can we use this energy really productively? We know that kind of stuff goes on in politics. It always has. It probably always will. But what can we do with this? I think what we can do with this energy is to be especially sensitive to our feelings and other people's when they're telling us something or communicating. And there will be truth telling going on. And some of the truth telling will be painful to hear or see, and some will be exciting and like, okay, I'm going to make some life-changing decisions based on this piece of information I just got. Some of the things will come back from the past, like nostalgia, oh, happy memories, or finding buried treasure. You know, we've talked about Scorpio before, finding buried treasure somewhere. It's like, wow, you know, just walking in your garden and suddenly, oh, I just came upon a treasure chest of something. You know?
Oh, that would be nice. Right. So look into the details of that. I notice on the VSP chart there, it's a bit of a wide trine, but between Mercury, who's ruling that Venus star point, and the Moon, and then even Mars, Neptune, all in water. So there is a bit of a water trine, like you said. Yes. So
a lot of water.
So mm-hmm. so I think of Venus and the Sun in Gemini pulling out a lot of information, just, you know, that Gemini energy is always seeking information. But with its connection to that water, like you said, it is being gentle in the delivery and mindful of emotions and how you impact others. So
exactly.
I think that's,
Here's the other thing. Gemini is communication, right? It is about mm-hmm. communication, but we normally think of communication just talking to people, listening, whatever, maybe reading, maybe typing, writing, texting, whatever. That's all Gemini stuff. But this degree for the Sabian symbol for the Venus star point at 14 Gemini happens to be two men at great distances from one another in telepathic communication. So this is a very interesting degree for Gemini, which is the sign of communication. We don't often think of telepathic communication with this sign, as it's more related to something like Pisces. But in this chart, for the moment of the VSP in Gemini, we have squares to both Mars and Neptune in Pisces activating that. So I was thinking that Gemini is about learning. You know, wanting to read, curious minds, wanting to learn something, always wanting to learn something new. So I'm thinking a good way to harness this energy with the telepathy degree is, why don't we all learn how to focus on being more telepathic? We all have the ability to do it. It's a good exercise to practice this year. We often experience things like something just happened right before our eyes and we were just thinking about it or speaking about it a few minutes earlier or a few days earlier. And we think this is extraordinary, but why should it be? Why shouldn't we always realize that our thoughts are energy? They're energetic objects seeking to manifest somewhere. So when you pick things up, don't be surprised by it. Just go, oh, great, thanks, I did that. All right, let me try to practice that and tune into that more often. And let's take silence in the everyday mind to hear that telepathy, to hear that inner voice. So the other thing about pulling back during a retrograde, like the withdrawal part of the Venus retrograde, what are we turning inward on, would be not so much talking and speaking and just having our mind go constantly, but to actually harness it back, listen more, be more receptive. As we listen more, there's more silence and the energy takes a different direction, and we hear more and we learn more. And when we embrace those sounds of silence, the more the higher mind comes in to give us the answer that we were groping for. So I think a good thing during the Venus retrograde period might be just to go to a silent retreat, maybe a monastic setting, maybe to go on a long distance voyage somewhere across the ocean, across the sea, Pisces, to go to a place far away in a where nothing is really distracting our minds or making our minds busy with the everyday routine, but to getting out of the everyday routine and, you know, doing a whole, like a full, what do you call it? A big change of mind,
shift. I feel that. And this chart is absolutely fascinating. And I would really encourage all of our viewers to take a look at it. Because the longer I look at this chart, the more things just pop out. You know, I also see that Saturn is at 1 degree of Aquarius in this chart. Again, that brings in that air component. And like you said, there is some messaging here that says we need to rise above our current thinking and go to a higher state of mind. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be heartfelt. I also see the moon opposing Uranus there. That's also a higher mind with emotions. It's just so much in this chart. I'd also heard before that the North Node is exalted in Gemini. And mm-hmm. that to me also seems another message of, like you're saying, get to a higher place. Use your intellect along with, you know, an understanding of everyone's emotions. And that seems like a beautiful place to go. And certainly by the end of the year, this particular VSP happens on June the 3rd. And then by the end of the year, that Jupiter will join Saturn. They will conjunct for the first time in air in about 200 years, I think. So
and
it's beautiful to see that.
Yeah, that is
right. I see that.
We talked about earlier. It's really introducing the element of air into
it. Really, really is.
So, decades. Yeah.
So Venus, the Venus star point is almost rolling out that red carpet, along with the node being at 29 degrees of Gemini. Yeah. Almost rolling out that red carpet to say, okay, in 6 months, everybody prepare for this paradigm shift of really getting away from, you know, just that basic earthy grounding to live on a higher level. It's almost kind of a new way mm-hmm. of thinking and being. So that's gorgeous.
Yeah. So that's our kind of, if you want to think of it as our personal work this year in mm-hmm. on behalf of our service to Venus, it would be that we communicate, we try harder to communicate with people and to understand them and to listen to them and to come to a place where we are both really on the same wavelength or at least listening and hearing one another and not reacting or arguing or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. It's definitely a way to shift our ability to, but then the telepathic part as well is like, you know, when you live with somebody, you don't really have to have telepathy in order to know exactly what they're thinking. Right? Mm-hmm. And yet we sometimes don't, we ignore that completely. Like we know, but we don't tune in. And so at this point, we're giving a chance to really shift that process. And I think Mars, because Mars in Pisces is square to Venus and the Sun and the Venus star point, I think there's going to be some pushing going on. Some, you know, Mars pushes. Mars isn't like gentle and lightweight. Mars kind of confronts, kind of stirs things up, kind of, you know, he's in Pisces with Neptune. He's going to make big waves. Mm-hmm. Riding one of those jet skis on the on the water and making noise and flipping around and doing things like that. But yeah, he's kind of active too in this whole process right now. But yeah, I think what you mentioned earlier is one of the things I thought too about the water, not just Mercury ruling all that Gemini that's in Cancer, but and the Mercury elemental year of water, but the fact that we have it really trining Mars series in Pisces and Moon in Scorpio. So we do have a grand trine of water, and grand trines are great enablers of energy. They really, you know, the element speaks very strongly through those trines. So what else? What else caught your attention about this chart?
Well, I noticed that Venus is at the midheaven, and I know you cast a chart for Washington, D.C. So, you know, maybe also by June, we'll just see, you know, maybe more of a congenial atmosphere. I do feel that Venus in Gemini is a lot about social friendship, you know, conjunct the sun there. And maybe things will settle down in Washington, D.C. by mid-year. You know, there's a lot of consternation, and maybe, like you said, by then the secrets will be out, and we're heading towards an election a few months later. But from a political standpoint, what are your thoughts on maybe messaging?
The idea that this impeachment process has been happening, and we're waiting for the results of that, but there's going to be that tension between Mars and Venus in this chart in early June. I think some very nasty political maneuvering can be showing up. I mean, in our personal lives, I think we can handle this energy. Maybe we will be confronted by things that we don't want to face, but we will ultimately handle it in a good way. I'm not so sure I can predict the same for the political process, because that's run by a different kind of machine, you know? So I do think that there is going to be a lot of, the air is going to be stirred up around then by what's going on politically. Whatever the new story is, what's the latest story, and how's that going to turn everything upside down?
I feel like I'm seeing something being wrung out like a wet towel.
Yeah.
You know, with this energy just wringing out all the ugliness, the truth comes out, especially with that moon in Scorpio right here opposing Uranus.
It's that a spicy energy, because all that Gemini is circled around the United States Mars. Mars is in Gemini in the US chart. And so all the Gemini of this chart is focused, is right on the Mars. And, you know, it's possibly that's what's contributing to the every four-year presidential cycle being what it is in a kind of confrontational, nasty way. Because every year, every 4 years, when the Venus star goes through Gemini, it's activating the U.S. Mars. And every 8 years, it's a retrograde Gemini that's activating it. So it's more long and drawn out and more... And this is one of those years where it's going to be the more long, drawn out kind of process of whatever. So, but for our listeners who are not necessarily paying attention to the political thing, or let's say you do, would you would like to pay attention, but it's just too much for you, which it is for a lot of people these days. What can you do to assist? What can we do to assist? Now I'm with the air. I'm going to go back to Miss Greta Thunberg and the climate. I've been talking about her for months now, and I'm going to mention her again, because I'm going to say that the best way we can handle this air and really make a shift, like during this period, like we were talking about, is to support that cause, whatever she's tied to, in terms of whatever kind of support she needs to carry on her work. And also Boyan Slot, who's doing the ocean cleanup project. Anybody so inclined to want to support the efforts there? He's the young lad from the Netherlands who conceived of that ocean cleanup project when he was 14, and they've now got all the machinery out there and doing it, and they've had a couple of successful runs, and he wants to get rid of all the plastic in the ocean.
Wonderful.
Very worthy endeavor.
Love that. Okay.
So that's what I would say for 2020. Whether you're politically involved or not, don't get frustrated by what you hear or see is happening. And don't think that if your side won, it's a victory. It may just be a temporary victory. It may,
And Ariel, if we skip ahead and we look where Venus, the planet herself is when it comes to election time, she's going to be in Libra, which is a lovely place where Venus is exalted, or where she rules. And we all know the sign of Libra is about balance and harmony. And so it's positive when you look at it that way.
Right. Yeah, I haven't actually looked at the actual day of election chart yet. I will if we go further into the year. And also I will once we get the actual candidate locked down. You know, looking at the 23 candidates that were up there and now 12, and then there were 8, and then there were 4. I like to get it down to the final 2 to see that makes
me exactly those exactly. Two. But I like the fact that we're voting on a day when Venus is actually in Libra. That sounds positive to me.
Okay, that's good. Juno is in. I'm going to say one more thing about the Libra connection because Venus is so connected to Libra. Juno is in Libra and has been for many months now, for almost 2 months, and it will be for a lot of 2020. Juno in Libra opposite Chiron in Aries. And one of the big things is to look at how you do partnership, how you engage in partnership, and what were the mistakes you made before, and what were the pitfalls of your past relationships, what did you learn from them, what can you do better, and how can you let go of some of the perks or pain of old relationships. Let's say you're not in a relationship right now, but how can you actually release the old hurts from former relationships so that maybe you can open up to new life there? Because Juno in Libra really wants to partner. She is really gung-ho for partnering right now. But the opposition from Chiron in Aries makes her somewhat cautious, makes her feel like, well, yes and no, yes and no. Oh, I don't want to go through this again, things like that. So it's also another time, really, with the Venus in Gemini. She's in Libra, which is an air sign. Talk things over. Talk things over with your partner. And if you're not in a relationship right now and want to be, talk things over with your healer or your therapist who might help you engage in a loving relationship in a better way.
I love that. That's a beautiful message.
Prepare for it, you know?
That's right. So there is a lot of promise for everyone, whether they're in a relationship or not. And yeah, that's the other thing I saw on the chart. It's beautiful. So I think that's a real helpful energy for the Venus star point. You've got the Juno in the first and the Chiron in the seventh. And those are certainly the houses of relationship as well. The me and the other.
Right.
So that's a beautiful way to end. And I know Venus would be very happy with that.
Right. So the lightness of the air will help to negate the overly heavy feelings we've been experiencing with all that Earth and all that Capricorn as well. So I do want to say there are some light, there are a lot of light, bright moments for 2020, even, you know, in spite of that ongoing Capricorn cluster of energy that we start the year with in January, right now with Saturn and Pluto. But what is Saturn and Pluto every 36 years? I think it's a regime change is what it is. And it's like, okay, who's the new ruler of the world now for the next 36 years? But this is more like, what can we do on a day-to-day level with Venus? How can we come into more loving relationships and a more balanced way of living? That's what this is all about.
Well, that is beautiful news, and it's very promising. And that's what Venus is all about, truly. Harmony, pleasure.
So We are wanting to say we have a personal message for all our listeners right now. First of all, is thank you for being with us all year and listening. We really appreciate
it. And it's been a fun year doing these, Ariel. Thank you for the opportunity.
Catherine, I can't thank you enough for being here each month for this little dialogue we have about Venus and keeping up with her. We will not be doing the monthly podcasts in 2020. This is our last one for a while. But periodically, when important Venus material comes up or other things, other subjects to discuss, we will do another one. So look for the occasional one in the coming years. Meanwhile, we thank you for your listening up till now, and let us know if you have questions about anything.
Happy Venus Friday, and have a wonderful Venusian-filled year.
Not only Happy New Year, but Happy New Decade.
New Decade! Oh my gosh, I forget. All right.
Yeah, so we'll say farewell for now.
Farewell for now. It got me on a mountaintop.